Daf is Daf Mem Hey. So we got to the very top line of the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We're in the middle of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was telling us that even though Midiraisa, all the Nishban, but Lo Mishalmim, it's really an exemption. It's the way a person gets off the hook from paying. But Midirabanan, they said that we say certain people are Nishban Vinolin. We allow them to take a Shua in order to collect. So we went through a couple of examples. Now the Mishnah is up to the last line of Shekenegdo Chashid Al HaShvua. Let's say the person who's supposed to be taking the Shvua and off the hook is a Chashid. We're concerned that he might be a liar. We won't trust the Shvua. So Kate said, what's the case? The Mishnah says, Acha Shvua Ha'edus, Acha Shvua Ha'pikadon, whether it's a Shvua Ha'edus, the guy lies, or whether it's a Shvua Ha'pikadon, where there's a certain Chashad about him denying having watched your object, or about Filu Shvua Shav, or simply he takes a Shvua Shav, so we don't trust him. Rashi says the Chiddush of Shvua Shav is two lines down. Filu Nechshad Al Shvua Shav, Shurah L'Shamayim Alea V'lo L'Brios. It's not as bad. The other one, Shvuas Ha'edus and Shvuas Ha'pikadon, are against the person as well. They're not only an Avera to Shamayim, but they're even an Avera L'Brios. Shua Shav only affects the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so maybe not as bad. Still, Afiluhach Afal Pikein, says Rashi, who nifsal al yada l'shua, that's going to disqualify him from taking any future Shuas. So this is an example of a person who's chashed al Shuasa. So Echem Mehem, or Misachik, but could be a guy who gambles, or Malva Beribis, he lends money on interest, or Mafri Chiyonim, which the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the different types, let's call it gambling just to be another type of gambling, or horse racing, the Sochre Shvias, people who make money off of Shemitah fruits, Shekenegdo Nishba Vinotel. So the other guy would then have to take a Shvua, and he would be allowed to take. Let's say Hayushneim Chashud, and let's say both of them are suspect of lying. Chazra Hashua Limkoma Divrei Rabbi Yosef. We go back to the initial place, meaning the first person who we said Nishbin Vilo Mishalman. We go back to that guy, and since neither one is really trusted, we go back to the initial Midiraisa. But Rabbi Meir doesn't like this. Rabbi Meir says Yachloku. Why would he put a person in a position of creating a Shua Sheker? Perhaps if he's Chashud, we shouldn't rely on any Shua, and therefore the best approach would be to Yachloku, to divide the proceeds. The Mordechai quotes that there's a Takanas Chacham and Takanas Gaonim. Let's say a person, after he makes a Shvua, then Edom come along and say he's Chashud on the Shvua, would that retroactively undo his Shvua or not? So the Gaonim say that the Shvua is not good retroactively and he would have to pay. Meaning he took a Shvua, Reuven took a Shvua, that I'm Pater. And then they say, wait a second, you're Chashid, the Shvua shouldn't be good, so the Shvua is erased and he would have to then pay the money. They point out that's only from the times of Takanas Gaonim. But prior to Takanas Gaonim, the Shvua would have standed. It would have been a good Shvua, even though he's Chashid. So they asked me, what's the reason why? So I would have thought because at the time when he took the Shvua, we didn't know the Chashad, so it was a good Shvua. But according to Rabbi Leib Malin says, no, when we say a person's Chashid al Shvua, doesn't mean that his Shvua isn't good. We don't know he's going to lie. He just is not the most honest guy. It's a good Shvua. Chashid al Shvua means we don't allow him to take a Shvua lichat chila. We wouldn't advise him to do. But had he taken a Shvua, Rabbi Leib Malin says, we'd accept the Shvua b'di'evet and it works. It's only from the time of Takanas Gaonim did they undo that ability, and they came in and said, no, we don't even trust the Shvua l'mafreya, and he would have to take pay the money.
When we say here Chazar Shvulim Koma, does that mean he's actually going to make a Shvur, or does it mean he's going to pay? The original guy.
I thought it meant he would have to take the Shvur. Gemara says it will, but Rashi will see in the Gemara what that means. So we'll have to wait till we get to that in the Gemara. Okay. Fine. The Rashi asks an interesting question. He says, how do we know when a person takes a Shvur? Actually, we'll leave that aside. Fine. The Mishnah now says, Hechenvani al Pinkasa. What does it mean, Hechenvani al Pinkasa? That was another example of a person who would nishban vinolin. He takes a Shvua in order to collect. So Hechenvani is a store owner, and he has a Pinkasa. He has a list of things that people have tabbed, that people owe money. Ketzad, how does this case work? Lo sheyomer lo kasav al Pinkasi shata chayiv li masayim zus. Not a case where he says, I've written down here that you owe me money. That's not the case here. Ela omer lo, tein levni sasayim chitin. So the certain father says to the store owner, please give a certain amount of wheat to my son. Tein lepoali, or he says, give to my worker, or sell him, I'll give him some amount of money. And so I'll pay you back for it, don't worry. So who omer nasati? So the store owner, the chenvani, says, I gave them, so you owe me money now. Vehein omrim lo natalnu, and the workers and the children said, we never received anything. So now the Baal Bayis, the father, he never paid the sons and workers that he owes them because they denied receiving it. And the Chanvani says he paid all the money, so he needs money from the Baal Bayis. So now he has two outstanding obligations. He needs to pay the Chanvani, for which he claims he needs to be paid for, and the workers who said they never received payment from the Chanvani. So what happens in this case? So the Mishnah says, "Hu nishba v'notel." The Chanvani could take a shvua, "I swear that I never received money from you," and he takes the money from the father. And the workers and the children could say, "We swear we never received anything from the Chanvani," and the Baal Bayis, the father, would still owe him. So we have to pay double here. So Amar, so that's the Tana Kama. Amar ben Nanes. Ketan, how does it work? Elu ve'elu ban lidei shua shav. How could that be possible? One of them is for sure lying. So now you're forcing maybe one to tell the truth. So, but you're forcing that one of them to take a shua shav. How could you do that? So Ella, who notel shlo b'shvua v'hei nolim shlo b'shvua. He argues and says that no, both parties, the Chanvani could take without a shvua, and then the workers and sons could take without the shvua either, and the Baal Bayis is just in a bad position here. He has no other choice here, and he has to pay double amount. The Gemara is going to analyze each of these cases. Next Mishnah. Amar l'Chanvani ten li b'dinar peros v'nasan lo. So he says to the Chanvani, give to me a dinar worth of peros, and he gives him the peros. Amar lo, ten li also dinar. And the Chanvani says, now pay me back give me the money you owe me for the fruit I just gave you. Amar lo, nisativ l'chai, I already paid you the dinar. V'nisato bone pauline, I gave it in a, Rashi says it's a certain like wallet, a tikha osa lamal, so I gave a little pouch. I handed you that pouch and there was money inside. So yishba baal habayis shenosin lo es hadinar. The baal habayis is able to take a shvua that he paid the money. Now even though we've been listing examples of nishban v'nolin, this is a case of nishban v'lo mishalman. Rashi points out here this is really a shvuas heses here. It's not really a midiraisa shvua, it's a midirabanan, that's why it's on the list here. As a side point, it's interesting that there's a debate when Shuas Heses was really instituted. It sounds like from Rashi, already from the times of Mishnayos, a Shuas Heses existed, because he explained this is Pshat in the Mishnah, but there's a toast on the side here that it only existed from the times of Rav Nachman, which is many centuries after the Mishnayos. So that's just a side point here, but this does not really fit into the flow of the Mishnah. This is an example where the Baal HaBayis would take a Shua to be exempt from having to pay. So then the Gemara says that... Amar lo tainli es aperos. So now this case, the Baal Bayis pays the dinar first. The Baal Bayis pays the dinar first, and then the Chanvani said, the Baal Bayis now give me the peros. Amar lo, the Chanvani says, Nesatin l'cha, I already gave you, v'lachtim l'toch beischa, you already brought them to your house, I already gave you the fruit. So in this case, yishba Chanvani. Here the Chanvani has to take a shua, and this is going to exempt him as well, that he's going to be off the hook. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol She Peres Biyado, Yado Ahal Yona. So while the Tanna Kamma says that we always apply the Din Shvua Nishban Velo Mishalman, it gets you off the hook, at least in this example, Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, whoever has the fruit, he's the one Yado Ahal Yona, and he should have to pay. What do you mean Yado Ahal Yona? So look at Rashi, around six narrow lines down, Kol She Peres Biyado, Yado Ahal Yona, Aresha Palik. It's arguing on the Resha, which said, the katani yishba baal habayis shenasin las dinar. So the baal habayis is able to swear that he paid the dinar and he's off the hook. And also, Rabbi Yehuda lemeimar ein sach shvua. You don't even need a shvua. She'ein derech chenvani hamochet shelo ba'akafa liten es haperos ad shikabal sadinar. A chenvani normally doesn't give you the food until you pay the money first. So many places, at least here in the five towns, I know out of town it's different. But the five towns, you pay before you take your food. You order pizza, you go online, you pay the money, and then you take the food back. In other places, I've been to out of town, I think in Florida and stuff, you'll eat the food, and after you leave, before you leave, you pay.
You wait a half hour for pizza.
I mean, wait, whatever. And how New Yorkers forget all the time because they're not used to paying after they leave. But normally, the way it's supposed to be done is you pay for your food first. So there's no way that he gave you the fruit before you paying. So it's very likely that when the Baal Bayis took the fruit, he also paid the money. So the Chanvani says, I didn't receive my money. All right, so unlikely that ever happened. Okay. The Mishnah says now, Amar l'shulchani, you say to the Shulchani, Shulchani is a money changer. Tain li b'dinar maus v'nasar lo. Give me a dinar worth of maus. Amar lo tain li esa dinar. So give me the dinar. He gave me one like change. So give me four quarters, I'll pay you back a dollar. So he gave him four quarters. And the Shulchani says, now give me the dollar bill. Amar lo nisativ l'cha, I already gave you the dollar bill. V'nisato b'on poli, I placed it in a pouch and I handed it to you. Yishba baal habayis, the baal habayis makes a shvua that he already paid back the dinar. Nasin lost the dinar. Let's say first the baal habayis gave the dinar to the money changer. Amar lo tein li semalos. Now give me the change. I want the four quarters. Amar lo nisatin lecha v'ashlachta l'toch kischa. I already handed you the money and I threw it into your pouch, into your wallet. Yishba shulchani. In this case, the shulchani takes the shvua and he's off the hook. So in both scenarios, according to the Tanakhama, the one who's being exempt takes the shvua nishbin v'lo mishalmin. But comes along again, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein derech shulchani litin isar ad shital dinar. The shulchani doesn't give the change until he's received the money first. So therefore, in the Tanakhama, it's very unlikely that the Baal Bais didn't pay the quarters yet, in which case he would not have to take a shvua, the Baal Bais, in the first case. Now the Mishnah says, a lot going on in the Mishnah here, Kishem sh'amru ha-pokemes k'subasa lo tifre el b'shua. What's a pokemes k'subasa? A woman says that she already started collecting some of her k'suba, but she says, I didn't accept all of it. When she says she started to accept some of the k'suba, that indicates that maybe the k'suba is no longer true anymore. Maybe she really took more than she's saying she took. So if she wants to proceed and take more money from the k'suba that she claims is hers, she would have to take a shvua. So just like there's a shvua in that case, the Mishnah is going to list a whole slew of other examples where there's a shvua as well. The eid echad me'ida shipura lo tifer ela b'shvua. If an eid echad says that the k'suba or any other shar for that matter was paid off and they deny it, so if you want to beat out the eid echad we know is not as good as two eidim, but if you want to go against the eid echad, you need to at least take a shvua to say, I swear that I'm owed money, and that way you could collect. If you want to take property away that has liens on them, you want to take property away from the Yisomim, you're only allowed to collect if you take a Shavua first. Other examples. If she's going to take money from the Ksuba and her husband isn't present, he's overseas, so then Rashi says it's a case where he sent her get overseas and she wants to now collect her Ksuba and he's not present, so then she would have to take a Shvua that she never received her Ksuba amount yet. So too when the Yisomim lo yifru ela b'shua. If they want to collect, Yisomim want to collect from something that their father is owed, they too would have to take a Shvua. What's the shvua that they would take? Shvua shlo pakanu abba v'lo amar lanu abba v'shlo matzinu ben sharosav shlo abba sh'shtar zeh parua. Had they take a shvua that we promised, our father never commanded us, that we were paid already, that the father didn't say a thing to us, we couldn't find any receipts in the father's property, those are the shvuas he has to take, and if they make the shvua, then the Yisomim are allowed to take and collect from an outstanding obligation that their father was owed. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broch Omer, Afilu nolad haben l'acher misas av ha'reiz nishva v'nota. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broch takes it a step further. Even a child that's born after the death of the father, meaning the wife was pregnant, and then the husband died before the birth of his son, so obviously the baby has nothing, has no idea any of the business dealings of their father, but yet still Rabbi Yochanan requires that child when he gets older, if he wants to take money from an outstanding obligation someone owed his father, he would also have to take a shua, even though he doesn't know anything about it. He'd have to simply take a shua that I know nothing about, I couldn't find any receipts in my father's file cabinets, and he would have to take a shua v'nota. And then the Mishnah says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, im yesh edim shamar ha'av v'shas misaso shtarze eino parua hu nota b'shlo b'shua." If you could find edim that say, "Well, we saw that the father was dying, and he said during his death that this document is not paid. I'm still owed money from so and so." So in that case, the yisomim would be exempt from taking a shua. They could simply take based on the edis of those shnei edim. Then, the following part of the Mishnah, with the Gemara is going to explain what this means. We're not going to appreciate it right now, but Elu Nishban Shlo B'Taina. These people take a Shavua without ever having to take a Taina. Shutvin, recent partners and sharecroppers, Patrapin of Isha, Hanosas, Vanosenes, a woman who's very involved in the business, Pesach HaBayis, Uben HaBayis, someone who's living in the house. So, Amr Lo, Ma'ata Toanini, Ritona Shetishba Li, Chayiv. So, fine. So, in the situation, those are situations where you have to take a shvua, even though a claim had never been made, you still have to take it. So, let's say the partner says to his friend, whatever you're claiming from me, I want you to take a shvua for me, you would have to take a shvua. So, again, we don't really appreciate what this means here, but we're going to have to get back to the Gemara in the next couple of days to appreciate this line of the Mishnah. Let's say, where are we now? Chalka shutvin arisin. Let's say they divide the property, so then ein yachol ashbia, you can't force him to take a shua at that point anymore. But if niskalgil shvua mimakam acher, if he's forced to take a shua from some other source, so then megalgilin alav etzakol, then you could include other shuas. And then finally, ashvias mishametes as a shvua. The person has an outstanding shvua to take, shmita could come and nullify it. So there's a lot going on in the Mishnah, especially the end there. We're not going to really fully appreciate it until we see the Gemara. Okay. The Gemara now says, Kol nishban shebet Torah nishban v'lo mishalmin minalan. All those who take a shvua in the Torah, take a shvua in order to be off the hook, in order to exempt them. Minalan, how do we know what's the source? Damar krav v'lokach ba'alav v'lo yishalim. The Baal takes it. The beginning part of the pasuk is talking about shvuas Hashem tiyeh bein shneim. This is a shvua. And who's taking the shvua? The Baal v'lo yishalim. The one who's supposed to pay. If he takes a shvua, he's off the hook. Misha alav l'shalem lo shvua. The one who's responsible to pay, he takes a shvua in order to exempt himself. That's the source for shvua nishban v'lo mishalman. So then the Gemara quotes the mission of Ve'ilu nishban v'no lolan. Then it gave all these examples of those who take a shvua in order to collect. Ma'ishna sachir titakani le rabbanon dimishtabe v'shakil. Why did the sachir, the worker who wasn't paid yet, why does he have to take the shvua? Why don't we make the employer take the shvua? Right? We said in Midaraisa nishban v'lo mishalman, take a shvua to be off the hook. To let the Baal Bayis take a shvua be off the hook. Why the Chacham have the need to come in and change the Daraisa and say we're throwing the shvua on top of the poel, on top of the sachir, on top of the worker? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halachos Gedolos Shanukan. There were big halachos that were taught in this case. Halachos, Hani, Hilchos, and Ninu? So the Gemara thinks the word halachos means halachos Moshe Mesinai. These are halachos Moshe Mesinai? These are not halachos Moshe Mesinai. So the Gemara says, no, let's tweak that a little bit and say, Ela Ema, Takanos Gedolos Shanukan. There were big takanos. Chacham made very, very important takanos here. Gedolos, Michal Dika Katanos, they're big, implying that they're smaller takanos they made. Ela, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Takanos, Kavuos Shanukan. They were very substantial, permanent takanos that they had established here in these regards to shvuos. So what's going on? What's the explanation though? Akrua rabbanon l'shvua. They uprooted the shvua mibal habayis from the employer. V'shadua asachin threw it on the sacher to take. Why? Mishum kidei chayv. Because he depends on this. The worker works per day. He lives day by day, and he needs the money. And the Baal Bayis forgets to pay him, he has no money to feed his family. So kedei chayim, in order for pikuach nefesh purposes, we allowed the sacher to take a shvua in order to collect. So the Gemara says, mishum kedei chayim, the sacher kantin le Baal Habayis, because of parnasa, we're going to penalize the Baal Habayis. So it's not quite a pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh, we could have thought, maybe you can penalize the Baal Habayis. But kedei chayim, to make the guy a parnasa, which of course, we're not downplaying in any way, but still, because kedei chayev, we should penalize the Baal Bayis. Every guy takes a shvua, he has to pay every guy out 2 or 3 times, possibly. The Gemara says, Baal Bayis gufei nichale. The Baal Bayis, the employer, actually prefer that the sacher has that responsibility of the shvua. Why? Dimishtabe sacher v'shakil kehecha disgarun le palam. He needs workers. Now, if the workers aren't going to trust him, and he's the one who has to remember who he owes money to, how much he owes everyone, he's going to forget to pay people, he'd rather have the workers, the employees, happy. This way they'll come back and work a second time. So he's willing to trust them to take a shvua and collect on that. This way they'll come back to work again. The Gemara says, Adarabba, Sacher Nichalei, the worker would prefer L'dishtaba Baal Habayis. He'd rather the employer take the shvua, V'nafke, Kiecha Deligrei Baal Habayis. This way the Baal Habayis will hire him. If the employer sees that the employees are taking advantage and taking shvuas all the time that they weren't paid, so now the employer is going to hate the guy and look for some other worker. The employer, the employee, is very desperate. He'd rather the Baal Habayis have the control in his hand, and this way he'll be hired a second time and not lose trust. The Gemara says, the Baal Bayis al karcho agir. So the Gemara says, no, the Baal Bayis needs someone to work his land. He has no choice. He's going to need to find workers. He's stuck. So the employee has the upper hand because the employer, without workers, he can't function. Whereas it's the opposite. The sacher nami bal karcho miskar. The sacher also needs to work. If he can't work for the farmer, for the employer, he won't have any parnasa. They both need each other. Ela Baal Bayis tarud bepoalavu. So the Baal Bayis is just so engrossed in his work, in hiring people and managing his products and the manufacturing. He just can't pay attention to every single employee to ensure that he paid them or not. And therefore, we can't really trust. Not that we think he's a liar. It just is so much in his head, he just can't possibly remember everything. Gemara says, so if he can't remember everything, so now we should then trust the worker. There shouldn't be a shvua. V'leisiv le'below shvua. Why need a shvua at all? Trust the employee. And then, because you can't trust the employer in this case. The Gemara says, "Kedei lahapis daitel shel Baal Habayis." The reason why is because the Baal Habayis is still going to be thinking, maybe the guy's taking advantage of me. So this way we throw a shvua on the guy, and now the Baal Bayis is going to say, oh, there's no way he's going to make a full shvua. Now I really trust the guy that I owe him money. It makes everyone very, very happy. Now Tosfos points out here, look at Tosfos Dimasso, Kidei Lahapis, Daitel Shel Baal Bayis. We're trying to satisfy the Baal Bayis. That's why we make the worker make the shvua. Hocha Vadai Shu Omeid Vitzavach has to be a case where he's screaming Shepara, where the Baal Bayis is screaming that I paid him already. Shaykh Takana Kadei Lahapis Daito. Where he's, I'm telling you, I paid the guy, I did. So then we have to satisfy him, take a Shua, then you'll get paid. Aval, in the case Bahida, goes up Basra in the Gemara Baba Kama, the Kama in Yodeo, if he doesn't know if he paid the guy or not, he just, I really don't know, I've got so much on my mind. There is no need for a shvua. So it's not every single time where the employee needs to collect, he takes a shvua. It's only where the Baal Bayis is bari, he's certain that he paid, so then we need to satisfy him with a shvua by the worker. Yeah, but not every case. Some employers are very, very detail-oriented, and they might remember, it could be a guy who's got 4 employees, or it could be a guy with 1,000 who has a super memory. So if he's really certain, so then it gives him certain emunas. The Gemara then says, the last line of the Gemara here, relative lay be edim. So why not pay him with edim this way? The first time you pay him, this, if there were no edim, so that tells me that I was never paid. Every time you have to pay the employee, make sure there are 2 edim present, and that you saw me pay the money. The Gemara says, obviously the answer is v'tircha le milsa. It's obviously very hard to find 2 edim every single time you pay the guy, every month, every week, however often you're paying him, to need 2 edim, that's going to be a challenge. So we can't really make that happen. So then the Gemara says, v'lei sulei meikara. Why not pay him in the beginning? You make the deal, you're going to work today. Here's the $100 up front. This way there's no coming back. I'm not going to forget. No issues. The Gemara says, the reason why is because shneim rotzim ba'kafa. Both of them rather have paid at the end. Why? Just look at the last Rashi before you turn the page here. Shneim rotzim ba'kafa. They both rather pay only at the end. Ba'kafa means on the tab. Baal Bayis. He might not have money in the morning. He needs to run to the bank. I can't pay the housekeeper first thing in the morning when she comes. I ran out of money. I need to go to the bank first. Or the poel also. The worker, is not, he doesn't have self-control. If he gets paid in the morning, he's going to buy a beer here, a beer there. By the time he gets home, he'll have nothing to eat and feed his family. He'd rather have that forced self-control and not get paid until he has to go home to buy food for his family. So the Gemara then says, if it's really true that we don't trust the employer entirely because he's so busy, Ihachi asks the Gemara, the very top line of Amud Beis here, Afilu kata tsunami, even if there was a set price, we shouldn't trust the employer. What are you talking about here? Alama Tani, we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, the worker who tells us that Omer Shtaim Katatzi Lichali, that we made a deal with 2, the worker says, that's what the Uman says. The Hala Omer, the employer says, Lo Katatzi Lichali Achas, no, it was only $1 for the deal, you said $2. Hamotzi Michaveo Lav Haraya, so now if you want to take more than $1 from me, you want $2, you have to, as the worker, you have to bring the Raya. So what's the difference? Shouldn't we say the employer can't remember every detail, can't remember every single contract and deal he made, so we should trust the employee? How come here the Mishnah clearly says that we trust the employer and the burden of proof is on the employee? The Gemara says, K'titzavadai mitchadachle. When you have a set price, when you have a deal of how much I'm going to pay you, a guy's salary, that for sure he's not going to forget. Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, afil avar zmano nami. So even if the time passes, then we shouldn't look at Rashi says here, Ihachi de bal habayis tarid v'shem ha-shachach, when it comes to the amount of money that he remembers. When it comes to whether he paid or didn't pay, he doesn't remember. So afilu, says Rashi, tavo sachir lacher shavar zman, he should be able to collect it. We're going to see in a second, the Gemara says, the only time we trust the employee that he wasn't paid, if it's toch zmano, before the time. But if the end of the week came and now Sunday he was claiming his money, so then we trust that Baal Bayis paid. Why? Shouldn't we think he was so busy? Gemara says, ihachi afilu avar zmano nami, we should trust the employee over the employer if he asked for money after the zman came. Alama tani, why does the Braisa teach us, over zmano v'lo nason lo, ha'reza eino nishba v'notel. When the time passed, if the guy was working for the week, he was expected to get paid on the Friday afternoon, and the Sunday comes, the employee said he never paid me, we don't trust the employee. Why not? Don't we think the employer was so busy? Certainly Erev Shabbos too busy to pay? Gemara says, Chazaka ein Baal Bayis over b'Baal Talon. The Baal Bayis, granted he might not going to remember to pay during the week where there's no Isser Baal Talon. But if the Zman for payment comes, the end of the day comes, and he didn't pay that, he'll remember, I'm not going to violate an Isser. It's going to make sure he'll be clear and remember, oh, I need to pay that guy. Boy, he's so busy during the day where the Isser hasn't yet kicked in, so then there's not going to be, he may not remember. Meaning, what happens? The Isser Baltalim kicks in at Tseisa Kochavim. You have a day worker. So he works for the day, and you have an obligation to pay him at Tseisa Kochavim. So the guy wants to get paid before he goes home. He's going home a little bit before Tseis. He leaves home an hour early. Could you pay me? The Baal Bayis said, I think I paid you already. I'm not really sure. So take a shua. But if the guy says the next morning, I want my money, he said, what do you mean? I paid you last night. Then we would trust the employer because we know that the employer wouldn't let Tseis HaKochavim come without paying the employee first. The Gemara says, but Vahamas, didn't we say Baal Bayis tarred before Olav? How does he remember that? Isn't he so busy with the workers? That's only before the end of the day came, before the Zman to pay came. But Kimot Zman Chiyuva, when the time to pay came, meaning Tseis HaKochavim, Rami Anafshe Umidchar, now the Isser, the fear of the Isser coming to set in on him, that's going to cause him to remember and pay attention and jog his memory, find out if he paid him or not, and then we would trust the Baal HaBayis. The Gemara says, wait a second, but the other side, v'chisacher over mishim bal tigzon, but now you're calling the employee a gazlan. He's asking to be paid a second time. So just like you can't claim that Baal Bayis is going to violate Baal Talin, how can we claim that the sacher is going to violate Baal Tigzal? The Gemara says, because gavi Baal Bayis ika tre chazaka, there are two chazakas that are working in favor of the Baal Bayis. Number one, chada de'ein Baal Bayis over by Baal Talin. He doesn't violate the Isser. V'chada de'ein sacher mishay scharo. It doesn't make sense that sacher is going to request money the next day. They want their money before they go home. The housekeeper wants to get paid before she goes home, so they're not going to wait. So those two chazakas are working in favor of the Baal Bayis. Not that we think the employee's a gazlan, but still there's two strikes against the gazla, against the sacher, and only one strike against the Baal Bayis. That gives the Baal Bayis this in the nemanus. There's an interesting case that's discussed here. Let's say a person is, let's say, hired Erev Shabbos, the sefer called Mishkanos HaRoim. The worker works Erev Shabbos if there's a chiv to pay him on Erev Shabbos, because the Isser of Baal Talin only kicks in at Tseis HaKochavim. Now, Tseis HaKochavim is Shabbos. You can't pay him on Shabbos, so it may be on Erev Shabbos, an Erev Shabbos worker, there will not be an Isser Baal Talin. So he goes back and forth about this. And it's very possible, once you assume that there is no Isser Baal Talin on Erev Shabbos because of Tseis HaKochavim, there may not be an Isser ever in that case, because since initially there's never an Isser, paying on Sunday, Monday wouldn't violate the Isser either. But again, there's an interesting discussion here about that topic. Okay. Gemara now says, halfway down in our lines, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu Ela, Sachro, Be'edim. This whole discussion is only true if he hired him with Edim. That what? When you hired the initial deal with the employee, I said, listen, I'll hire you for the day for $100. Two Edim saw that. So now the Edim will testify that the employee was hired. The only question is whether he was paid or not. That much we don't know. Aval, Sacho Shelo Be'edim, but if there were no Edim when I made the initial deal to hire him, so what could happen? Then the employer doesn't have to pay him at all. We don't trust the employee. Why? Because he's amigo. Mitoch sheyachal omar lo, lo scharticha me'olam, yachal omar lo scharticha v'nasati lecha scharcha. The employer could say, I never hired you, who are you? And he could deny the entire idea of hiring him, in which case he could also, we trust him that he says, I did hire you, and I paid you the amount. Because there are no aid in that prove that he was ever actually hired.
Even though we say tarred the fall of, Migos Namanas, right? They're saying that he could have said it, but it's not that. What he said, we're suspect of, because it's not.
It's not vada that he's going to forget. It's not 100%.
It's like a Reyes and
Migo,
though.
Yeah, it kind of fights against the Migo. Home Migo is if the guy's a conniving person. We're not saying the guy's a conniving person. We're saying that the guy is just, he's tired of the fall of some Amela. He's making the wrong time.
It's two different cases, then.
I hear. Have they discussed that? What Tos was asking, maybe? We'll look at Tos afterwards, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's addressing this. Very good. Fine. We'll look at it afterwards. It might take some time to go through it. So the Gemara now says, Amar Lai, Rav Yitzchak, Yasha, that's correct. V'chein, Amar Yochanan, that's correct. That again, this whole discussion is only when there are Edim that we know he was hired. But if there were no Edim, since the employer could again reject the entire concept that he ever hired the guy, he's also believed to say, I hired him and I paid him as well. So now the Gemara says, we had this the other day, it says, V'chein Amar B'Yochanan, it says, Mechlal, that seems to indicate the Palagale Reish Lakish, the Bar Plukta of Reb Yochanan, who's Reish Lakish, he must argue on Reb Yochanan. The Gemara says, not necessarily, because Ikad Amri Misha have a Shasile, V'Shasikle, it's possible that Reish Lakish is busy drinking in the base medrash, and he would just stay quiet, and he never had a chance to say his part. And therefore, by the time Reb Yitzchak left the base medrash, he never heard whether Reish Lakish was going to agree or disagree. He was just commenting on what he heard Reb Yochanan say, but he didn't know what Reish Lakish was going to say. Yigad Amir, others say, Mishe Havashahilei Vishasiglei. Others say, we saw this Rashi again like a week or so ago, that Reish Lakish would often just let Rabbi Yochanan give his whole drasha, give his proofs, and the whole discussion, and only after everything's done will Reish Lakish say his piece. Now, Reb Yitzchak already heard Reb Yochanan's pshat, and he didn't want to go through the whole discourse of the rayas back and forth. So once he heard a pshat, he didn't have the patience, and he left the base medrash and walked away. That Rabbi Yochanan paskined, like we just said. But with regards to Reish Lakish, he never had the patience to stick around to find out what Reish Lakish would ever say, whether he'd be agreeing or arguing. The Gemara says, Itmar Nami has also said, Amar Rav Menashe Bar Zvid, Amar Rav, Lo Shanu Ela Shesachar Be'edim. This is only true, this whole discussion, if he was hired with Edim present. Aval Sacho Shelo Be'edim, if there were no Edim present, Mitoch Shiach Lomar Lo, Scharticha Me'olam, since he could deny ever hiring him, that gives him the Emanus, Yach Lomar Lo, Scharticha V'nasadi L'cha Scharcha. I did hire you, but I in fact paid you up the money already. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, Kama Malya Hashmaisa, how powerful, how special is this sugi, this discussion? Amar Le Rava, my Malyusa, what's so special about it? Im Kain, Shuas Shomrim Dechai Rachmana Hecha Mishkachasa. If this is the case, how could he ever be Chai Veshua Shomrim, where the Shomer has to take a Shua for that he was, he wasn't Poshaya? How do you ever have this case? Mitoch Sheyachal Omar Lo, Lo Hayudvar Me'olam, Yachal Omar Lo, Nensu. So the Shomer could always say, I never watched your object, you never gave it to me. So since he denied ever receiving the Bikadon, that gives him the Nemanos to say, I did have it, but a tornado came and took it away, and he'd be put there with Onus. So you never have a case of Shua Shomer, that he's Chayiv. Gemara says, that he's off the hook, rather. So you don't, meaning you don't ever need a Shua from to say I'm Pater. He could simply say I'm Pater because the Migo that he could deny ever taking the Bikadom gives him the strength that we trust him when he says it's a Nanas. He's trusted on that Migo alone without ever having to take a Shua. The Gemara says no, D'afkirle Be'edim. So since if you gave the Pikadon over in the presence of Edim, so you can't deny anymore that you never received the Pikadon. That throws away your Migo. The only way you're off the hook when you claim it's onus, is only if you take a shvua that was nensu. Gemara now says, "Mitoch shiyachal omar hichzarti v'lcha yachal omar lo nensu." He still has a amigo, because granted he can't deny ever receiving the bikadom, because Adam saw that I took the bikadom to watch. But he could say, I returned it to you, I gave it back to you, and you lost it. So since I could say I returned it back to you, I could also say that I didn't return it back to you, but it was nenas. That gives me amigo of strength, and he could trust me. I wouldn't have to take a shvua that was nenas. The Gemara says, no, de'afkid lei bishtara, that you gave it to me with a shtar. So what's the relevance of a shtar? So if you gave it to me with a shtar, so what would have to happen is, if I returned it to me, you'd have to also give me the shtar back. Look at Rashi says here. The afkid lei bishtar. Shim yomer hichzarti v'lecha. If it's really true, as a shomer could potentially claim, I returned the bikadam back to you, omer lo, the owner should say, hayalacha litol es hashtar miyadi. You should take the shtar back from me. But the owner says, I still have my shtar, which says that you still have my object. So if there's a shtar, you can't claim that you never received the pikadom, and you can't claim that you ever returned the pikadom. Therefore, the only way you're off the hook for nenas is if you take a shvua denensu. The Gemara now says, Mechlal to tervayu svile, both of these hold that hamafkid etzel chaveru be'edim ein tzarech lahachzer lo be'edim, but b'shtar tzarech lahachzer lo be'edim. So we have to assume that a person who is given an object to watch with Edim, when he returns it, he doesn't have to return it with Edim. Because had he had to return it with Edim, he should have said, oh, prove me where the Edim had said you returned it. So you don't have to return it in the front of Edim. But if a person watches a shtar, given an object to watch with a shtar, so then he would have to return it in the front of Edim. Not sure why he should return it in front of Edim, though. I thought he said they just get the shtar back. How do you prove that you need Edom in that case? Yeah, that's what they say here. either Edom or return the shtar, meaning something that's equal to the shtar, either shtar or Edom. That's not you dafka need Edom, you could also use a shtar, but Edom could substitute for the shtar. Gemara now says, last few lines of the page here, Kari, Rami bar Chama led Rav Sheshes, he referred to Rav Sheshes as, V'yosim David es ha-dvarim ha-elu b'libo, that he placed things in his heart. What does it mean? The Ashkecha Rav Sheshes, the Rabba bar Shmuel, Amalei Tani mar Midi b'sachir. He was talking to him, and he asked him, do you have any interesting halachic discussions about the sachir, about a worker? Amalei In, yeah, I do. Tanina sachir bizmano nishba venoto. If the sachir claims the money before the zman, bizmano toch zmano, before he actually needs to be paid, so he's allowed to take a shvua to collect. Ketad bizman. What does it mean, bizman? Shamalo, schartani, you hired me, velo nasati li schar, you didn't pay me back, pay me the money. V'hala omer, the employer says, schartika v'nasati lecha scharcha, I hired you, and I also paid you back the money. So that's a case where he would be able to take a nishba venotel, if it's toch zmano. Aval amr lo shtaim katasi li, you made a deal with $2. The halal amr, the employer says lo katasi licha ela achas, was only one. So in this case, hamotzi mechaveir alav haraya, so the burden of proof is on the employee that he really is owed a full $2, not $1. So the Gemara says, hamidis seifa biraya havi reisha beloraya. So from the fact that the seifa, the question of how much she was owed, you need a raya to prove it, seems the fact that they mentioned raya only in the Seifa indicates that the Reish of the case is a situation where there is no Raya. Look at Rashi says in the last Rashi in the page here. Mi de Seifa b'Raya michlal de nishba v'nota de Reisha below Shem Raya. When the first part of the Braisa says you take a Shua, you make a Shua to take, that must be a case where there is no Raya. Only the Seifa has a Raya, which means what? Einot tzarech lavi edim shasimo. You don't need to have edim. Right, we said before, the only time you need a shvua is only if there are edim that witness that you were hired. Right, that's a whole discussion of Shmuel above, that you need edim that you were hired. But if there are no edim that you were hired, the employer could deny the whole entire deal and not have to pay you. So clearly this reisha, there's a shvua of this sachir, even though there is no raya, there are no edim that he was ever hired. So we see that there is a good shvua, even when the Baal Bayis has a good migo. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Reisha is also v'seifa b'raya, they're both with a raya. Even the Reisha has to be a case where the Sacher was initially hired with Edim, with a raya. How come it doesn't mention the raya like it mentions in the Seifa? The Gemara says, just a technical point here, raya de l'shalim katani, raya de shvua lo katani. A raya that results in a chiv tashlumim, that was mentioned, but a raya that's going to result in a chiv shvua, that for some reason was not mentioned in the Braisa. But ein hachanami, the only time you could have a situation where the sacher would have to take a shvua, and we don't trust the employer, is only when there are aidin that he was hired. But if there are no aidin that he was hired initially, the employer could reject the entire deal and not have to pay him at all, without not even with a shvua. Okay, we'll stop here.